Ryan, my dear boy, the teeth of the hell monster are forever housed in slavering jaws that await nothing more than our perennial destruction. We are forever condemned by our past to not only repeat its mistakes, but to enlarge upon them, increase them in volume to a deafening roar that cuts across the world, such as it now is, in a wave of increasing fear and loathing, even in Las Vegas, that...
Doc!
Ryan took hold of the shaking, rambling man and held him still, trying to penetrate his wild-eyed gaze with the steely glare of his good eye. It was no use. Doc's head was rolling wildly from side to side as the old man was gripped in a convulsive anxiety attack. He had burst into the sleeping unit a scant few seconds before, disturbing the peace. Christie had joined Ryan in the land of the waking, and like him was suffering from the results of the potent Philbrew. It was unlike any white lightning or spirit they had encountered across the Deathlands, and for the first time in what passed at this moment for a memory, she had a hangover, her head thumping, and the light seeming too bright. She and Ryan had conversed in muted, hushed tones, trying not to trigger each other's headaches. They both recalled similar segments of the previous night, and there was enough time for a moment of fond remembrance of one particular aspect of the previous night, a time that was in short enough supply. Their muted reverie had been broken by the return of J.B. and Mildred. They had found an empty unit for themselves, wanting their own privacy as much as granting Ryan and Christie theirs, but in contrast, both seemed to be suffering no ill effects from the spirit.
Care to tell us what your magical formula is for feeling better?
Simple. Just lots of water and some juice. It may be muti fruit, but it has something resembling vitamin C in it.
Christie remembered back in Harmony when Uncle Tyus McCann had taught them something similar. But it had taken Mildred's pre-dark, medical-trained, and methodical mind to remember this in the midst of such a celebration.
So, do we go on, or do we stay?
J.B. was polishing the mini-sextant he carried with him. Ryan was aware that the armorer's producing it as he posed the question was by way of a hint, and not a very subtle one. But then J.B. was a straightforward man, not given to subtlety, unless it was in the line of a booby trap.
I think we should go. Move on. These aren't the illuminated ones. Yesterday's firefight would have been a lot easier if they had been. These people have little old tech remnants, and even though that doomy wife of aliens gives me the creeps as much as all of you, I think aliens on the level. He's a good man, doing his best to live by the code they set up here. There's no great stockpile, no Arawhan here.
J.B. nodded in agreement.
Harvey's a cold heart who doesn't like us around. I don't like the idea of wasting time and ammo on an unnecessary firefight. That's triple stoop, but that's what it'll come to if we stay.
Mildred agreed, and was about to tell Ryan and Christie of Harvey's willingness to leave them to fight alone the day before, when she was interrupted by the sudden appearance of Doc, bursting in, wild-eyed and anxious. And now, after he had blurted out his half-story, Mildred was helping him to one of the beds. He was breathing fast and heavy, sweat spangling his forehead and sticking strands of snow-white hair to his skull. His head turned wildly from side to side as he lay, the whites of his eyes all that showed as his eyes rolled in their sockets.
Shit, the old fool's really got himself worked up about something. I need some kind of sedative to calm him. His heart will burst the way his blood pressure's going.
Ryan crouched beside them.
No, he was trying to tell us something important. The last thing we need is him out of his head on something.
Ryan, I'm not disagreeing with you, but unless we get him calmed down, we'll never find out what the old fool means.
I know where the medic is in this ville. I'll take you.
Mildred rose to her feet, turning to Christie.
Keep an eye on him. He'd be just like the crazy buzzard to buy the farm before telling us something important.
Jack knew exactly where he was headed. He had listened to Doc's story, and although finding it hard to fully understand the rambling tale, he could grasp enough through the old man's excitement to realize that it was vitally important that Ryan know of it. So he sent Doc back to the unit to tell his tale, while the albino took it upon himself to find Dean. As with many things, Jack would have found it impossible to explain why he knew Dean wouldn't be with the others. But something was telling him that Dean had gotten himself into big-time trouble. He knew that his own little exploration of a few days before had whetted the boy's appetite for the ville, and for nosing out his suspicions of Jenna and her activities. In a way, Jack wished he hadn't mentioned the metal door at the end of the isolated corridor. Sure, the albino had gotten drunk the night before, completely insensible. But not before some alarm bell in his brain had registered the fact that he had seen Dean wandering on the periphery of the main hall. The youngster wasn't taking the opportunity to get drunk. In fact, there had been a clearness to his eyes and bearing, even at such a distance, as to suggest he was staying sober for a purpose. And although Jack hadn't mentioned this to Doc, he had an idea what that purpose may be. Jack's instincts had imprinted the route to that isolated corridor on his mind, and he had an almost perfect recall. The fact that he still had so much alcohol running through his system failed to slow him. There were few people about, only those who were going about their daily tasks, those vital to the running of the bill. The other inhabitants were still shaking off the after effects of their celebrations. So Jack had few people to delay him or to ask awkward questions. But a few could be more than enough. On the way to the corridor he sought, Jack made a few detours, mostly to throw off the suspicion of any who may be observing him, and partly to scout any areas where Dean may have ended up if he had taken a wrong turn. The youngster was good, but not yet that good. Jack had hoped to find Dean lost, as he worried about the time lag between Dean's disappearance and his search beginning. If the boy had found the door and had gotten beyond, then his not reappearing was a bad sign. A bad sign that got worse as Jack neared the beginning of the corridor. It led off the last few desultory units, occupied by those who could no longer complete any useful tasks for Raw. They were given food and shelter still, but necessity and the harsh mode of life, even in such a fair and ordered society, meant they were exiled to areas where others didn't wish to live. From the units, Jack could hear snoring and groaning as the celebrations took their toll on the old and infirm inhabitants. It would be useless to ask them if they had seen Dean. Even if it wouldn't arouse suspicion, it was doubtful whether many of them could remember their own names at this point. But at least it left the way clear for Jack to move on unobserved, or so he hoped. As the albino approached the curve of the corridor, a figure stepped from around the curve and into the poor light.
Hey, Whitey. What are y'all doing here, then? Get a little lost or something?
Jack stopped, his pitted and scarred white face set like marble, giving nothing away. Harvey stepped forward. His gait was casual, but there was a faint tenseness to his body language, a tightness to his movement that told Jack the sec chief was anxious beneath his seemingly calm demeanor.
Y'all not talking to me? I didn't know you were mute, as well as mutey.
Jack's anger rose like a thick bile from his stomach to his throat. His fingers twitched toward the concealed knives. With an effort of will, he stayed his hand. Harvey walked slowly around Jack. The tall sec chief towered over the albino, but Jack knew that he was quick and strong enough to take the sec man if he pounced. If. It would be stupid of Harvey to do this now, with Jack so close to the metal door.
Look for Dean. Young, not drunk before.
Harvey's laugh was forced.
Well, I guess there always has to be a first time. And the kid has gone missing, huh? You won't find him here. I've just been patrolling this sector, and I haven't found him.
That's so.
That's so, Whitey. So if I was you, I'd get back to the old man and tell him his whelp is still lost. Or you could look somewhere else.
Maybe do that.
Jack's eyes blazed as they fixed on the sec chief. Harvey looked away. He knew Jack had seen through him. But Jack didn't have the full story, and the albino knew he would have to be content with that for now. He turned, every muscle on triple red in case Harvey should try to attack. With every step he took from the corridor, even as he passed the first of the dwellings, he could feel the sec chief's eyes burning into his back. Burning like the slugs Harvey would want to put there from his Magnum Carry blaster. As Jack passed the first of the dwellings, he knew that their stay in Raw could become very bloody indeed. Doc lay sedated, whimpering softly while Mildred tended to him. The nurse, whose son had been injured the day before, left the unit, accepting with a sad grace Ryan's best wishes for her son. The one-eyed warrior could see her sorrow, and after hearing Doc's story had the uneasy feeling that it would only be added to in the short time to come. While Ryan and Mildred were gone, Doc had gasped out enough garbled detail, in with his ramblings and memories, for Christy and J.B. to grasp what he had seen in Sompvogel. When Ryan and Mildred returned, while the nurse and Mildred sedated Doc with an opiate taken from a mutated strain of poppy that was grown above ground, J.B. and Christy had filled in the few details they had gleaned. Mildred left Doc and turned to her companions.
Shit, that really does upset the cart. If there's even the slightest chance that Sunchild knows how to activate that nuke, he may just be pissed enough to do it after yesterday.
Right. And there's too many good people down here to expose to that danger, and ourselves. Even if we left now, then there's no way we could get out of range quickly if he decides to act soon.
Only one thing for it, lover. You've got to tell this.